is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning, Hill Country. 8:07.
Good morning,
Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
We are glad to be here, aren't we? As you can tell.
Yes. We are perky, aren't we?
We are very perky, yes. And we're this way 24 hours a day at home, too. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But we are Bill and Allison. We are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And we're never PC, are we, Allison?
No,
politically
we're not.
Correct.
No, we're not.
We're politically incorrect, actually, is what it is.
Most of the time.
But
I've always been that way.
What's most important, though, is that we are BC.
That's right.
Biblically correct. We try to be. Can't say we always are, but that's our goal. I'm Bill, and I'm a native Texan from the Panhandle. And Allison, you are?
I'm a Native American.
You are. You're a Native American.
My tribe is in Oklahoma, although I never lived in Oklahoma, but that's where my tribe is located.
Yeah, yeah. Chickasaw, right?
Mm-hmm, Chickasaw. Mm-hmm.
They were originally from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, you know all that Trail of Tears.
Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have a trigger warning for you. Allison and I identify as non-binary. Just remember that. We have our preferred pronouns that we wish you would call us. My preferred pronoun is Brandon, and Allison's is?
Corn Pop.
Corn Pop. Absolutely. I like this little bell here. Sounds good. Oh, by the way, this business of fighting a never-ending battle, everybody recognizes that, I think, from the Superman series and the movies and all that. Well, they took that motto out and changed it back in 2021. DC Comics dumped the America and replacing it with, well, it said Truth, Justice, and the American Way, to read Truth, Justice, and a Better Tomorrow.
Gag.
A Better Tomorrow.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Miss America contests where they say, and what if you became Miss America and became a spokesperson for the entire
spokesmodel?
Yes. What would you want to accomplish?
World peace. I want world peace.
That sounds like
Better Tomorrow.
Instead of the American way. But they put it back. Put back the American way portion. So there's a little good news.
Mm-hmm.
Start your weekend with. It's 8:10, by the way. Hill Country Patriot time. Your information station for Kerrville, Fredericksburg, Comfort, Bernie, Bandera, Hunt, Ingram, Johnson City, Mountain Home, Center Point. What am I forgetting? Junction. thank you. And all points in between. Stonewall, of course. Can't forget our friends at Stonewall. At Cicada Winery. Jeff. Mm-hmm. At Cicada Winery. So a shout out to Jeff. He listens, and we're glad that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Glad that he does. Well, we like to begin our program with a verse from the Bible. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, that's King James. It's those who are dead. Physically dead, of course. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4. You know, every show I try to quote a faithful Christian author about the verse of the day, but I looked up several Christian authors' quotes about death, and I couldn't find one that expressed what I wanted to say to you about this passage. So today we're going to quote me, a famous Christian author.
Actually, you are. People might not know that.
I'm an author. I don't know about famous. I am. I did write a booklet on what the Bible says on life after death, which is available on Amazon.
Booklet? How many pages booklet? Is it?
I don't remember.
I think a booklet is about 5 pages.
Oh, okay. Well, it's about 100 pages. Available on Amazon.com. Just look up, what does the Bible say about life after death? And I just took everything I could find in the Bible and tried to explain it. Let's see. Anyway, my own quote, what I'm going to use. The day I die will be the greatest day of my life on earth. I mean, the day I was born and the day I die. That's because the Bible clearly tells us that you and I, if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, will be with Jesus at the moment your body dies. As Paul wrote, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Your spirit can never die. 1 Corinthians 5, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. 8:12, Har Hill Country Patriot Time, your information station.
So today is April Fool's Day. Are you gonna?
Are you kidding?
Are you gonna? Are you gonna pull any pranks on me? Or your audience?
We will see. 8:26, Hill Country Patriot Time. This week in 1945, the battleship Texas supported the landings for the Battle of Okinawa, the final great amphibious assault of World War II. After serving in the Atlantic Fleet in the First World War, the ship supported the World War II landings in North Africa, Omaha Beach, southern France, and Iwo Jima. And she was retired after more than 34 years, given to the state of Texas as a memorial. She's permanently moored at the San Jacinto Monument off the Houston Ship Channel. So if you ever get a chance to see the battleship Texas, you should go down there. We have not done that, have we, Allison? The answer is no.
Think about it.
No, you're thinking of
Houston,
Corpus.
Houston?
You're thinking of Corpus. Yeah,
you're right, right.
And in 1836, at least 342 Texans were murdered at Goliad this week in 1836 on orders of General Santa Anna. See, the Texans considered these men to be prisoners of war, whereas Santa Anna, this is during the Texas Revolution, whereas Santa Anna declared them to be traitors to Mexico. So the men were led out of town and shot at point-blank range.
Wow.
Those not killed by the first volley were hunted down and killed by gunfire, bayonet, or lance. The bodies were left unburied.
Wow.
This became known as the Goliad Massacre. So remember Goliad and remember the Alamo were the rallying cries that inspired Texas independence. Well, Allison, I've got a suggestion for our bump music, and that would be Texas, My Texas. I think it's the official state song. Don't you think that would be appropriate after reading about Goliad?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be very cool. The Texas state song. When we come back, you've never heard a true story about abortion like this one, I guarantee you.
Texas,
stay tuned for that.
Texas,
we'll be back after a short break on the Bill and Allison Show. The Hill Country
Texas,
Patriot,
oh, Texas,
your information station.
Great, boldest and grandest, withstanding every test. Oh, empire wide and glorious, you stand supremely blessed. Texas, oh, Texas, your freeborn single star sends out its radiance to nations near and far. Emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and words throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and words throughout the ages long.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
8:32 is our Hill Country Patriot time. As Allison said, you are listening to the Hill Country Patriot with Bill and Allison, your information station, and we're glad to have you joining us this morning. Got a lot going on, a lot to cover. Mm-hmm. We always end up with the show with a stack of stuff that we never got to. So we try, if it's still timely, we try to do it for the next show.
Well, talk about timely. Bill was talking about ham radio down in Bandera.
Rodeo. You did the same thing I did. Ham radio.
Okay, anyway. Cal-Maine Foods, which I'd never heard of before, but they're the number one egg producer in the United States. Their profits, okay, you know how much more you're paying for eggs today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their profits jumped 718% last quarter due to the spike in egg prices.
Did we buy stock? I hope. Wow. Well, I promised you a story about abortion that you very likely have never heard anything like this. If you knew a woman who was pregnant, who had 8 kids already, 3 who were deaf, 2 who were blind, 1 mentally retarded, and she had syphilis, would you recommend that she have an abortion? If you would, you just killed Yes, I'm talking about Ludwig von Beethoven. He's the one whose mother was pregnant, who had 8 kids already, 3 who were deaf, 2 who were blind, 1 mentally retarded, and she had syphilis. He died at just 56 years of age this week, March 26th, 1827. He was one of the most admired composers in the history of Western music. His works rank among the most performed of the classical music repertoire. And if he had been aborted, what a loss to the world that would have been. What a loss to the world that would have been. So Ludwig von Beethoven, who died in 1827 on March 26th. Thank God he was not aborted. Is our Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that, actually you might not be familiar with this drug, but the drug Narcan, are you familiar with it?
I am not.
Okay.
Should I be?
Yeah, it's a life-saving drug. If someone has an opioid overdose, it's a nasal spray. And it can now be sold without a prescription.
Oh, well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it reverses opioid overdoses.
Oh, okay.
And that's, in part, it has become available over the counter because last year more than 100,000 Americans died because of drug overdoses.
And that's because China is shipping fentanyl, which is, I guess, an opioid, isn't it?
Uh-huh, yes.
China
yes,
is shipping, is. Making poisonous drugs on purpose, shipping them to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And they come across our border.
And Mexico is accepting them. Obrador could do something about it, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then shipping them across the border for the specific purpose of killing Americans. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. They want to kill Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, it's what, as demonic what, as can be.
That's what it's doing.
That's what it's doing, too.
Yeah, and Narcan has been available with a prescription since 2015, but this year they've decided to make it available without a prescription.
Well, a good thing. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Who's decided that? Is it a drug company or
probably the
government?
FDA? The FDA.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, what a lot of people might not know is that there are a lot of drugs that are available outside the United States that are available over the counter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be talking about It's funny you bring that up. I'll tell you what. Let me go to that story. I was going to save it for a little bit, but here's let me just get that story. It's funny that you bring that up, Allison. Let's talk about pharmaceutical companies and the kind of profits that they make. They're making a tremendous amount in profits, as you may know or may not know, but there's a lot more to it than that. And this is a shortcut, a short audio just about that subject.
People have been making some profits. Now, this is from Reuters. Pfizer vaccine with BioNTech, they've made $37.81 billion. $37.81 million in 2022 alone. Now, who's paid for that? Well, you and me have paid for that because we're taxpayers. The ordinary rank and file have paid for that. The elites make the decision. The elites rake in the money, you and me pay, and potentially suffer adverse events. Pfizer antiviral treatment, a mere $18.93 million. Moderna, $18.4 billion. Merck antiviral, $5.68 billion. BioNTech, $4.6 billion. We could go on and on and on. The list is there. I put the reference. It's a freely available, thanks to Reuters. Do check it out for yourself. Western drug makers are estimated to have bought in about $100 million in revenue in 2022 alone, paid for by us. And we have various things we could be spending money on at the moment, but that's what our governments choose to spend the money on, as we've just seen.
My name is Peter Gertje. I'm a director of the Nordic Cochrane Center in Copenhagen and professor of research design and analysis at the University of Copenhagen. Much of what the drug industry does fulfills the criteria for organized crime in US law. And they behave in many ways like the mafia does. They corrupt everyone they can corrupt. They have bought every type of person, even including ministers of health in some countries. In my country, for example, Denmark, we have thousands of doctors on industry payroll, although we are just 20,000 doctors. So this is an effective kind of corruption. The drug industry buys the professors first, then chiefs of department, then other chief physicians and so on. And that's why I wrote my book, Deadly Medicines and Organized Crime, How Big Pharma Has Corrupted Healthcare. I hope to convince patients not to take so many drugs, because so many die from the drugs they take. In my country, people take so many drugs that every single citizen can be in treatment with 1.5 drugs from they are born till they die. This is incredible. And drugs are not that helpful. They kill very many of us. We know that. That's why drugs are the third major killer after heart disease and cancer. So what we need in the coming years is to take far fewer drugs than what we do currently. If we did that and we were careful, then we could live longer and live better lives. Because drugs have many side effects, and patients often don't realize that when they become worse, that it could be a side effect of the drug, which they continue taking because that's what their doctors tell them. So when I was a specialist in internal medicine, what I very often did was that I stopped a lot of drugs, particularly in elderly people, and it's quite revealing to see a bedridden elderly person come into your ward, and when you stop the drugs, I mean, that person becomes many years younger. And many of these drugs affect the brain, and old people tolerate that very, very badly. They fall, and when they break a hip, a quarter of them die. And for example, antidepressant drugs are used in more than 10% of our elderly they seem to kill 3% of them every year. This is a huge death rate. So a lot of other drugs and antidepressants also make people fall and kill them. And they may affect your cognition, your memory, and all these things. And then they interact in ways that we know almost nothing about. Very many elderly, they take more than 5 drugs a day. And we actually don't know how these drugs interact with each other. What we do know is that all drugs have many effects in the body, and some of them interact also in their metabolism, so that you can get a too high concentration of a drug if you take other drugs simultaneously. It's not popular to tell the truth in healthcare. You will get a lot of enemies, because a lot of people make money on false premises, doctors and industry alike. And our drug regulators and our politicians, they are on board on this wagon. Few people are independent of money in healthcare. When my book about organized crime came out, they just lied about it, as they always do. But, you know, where I demonstrate that what the 10 biggest companies do is organized crime, these examples, they were from within the last 10 to 15 years. That's not old examples. And the crimes have increased, because when crime pays, you will have more crime.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, we sure do. We sure do. Yeah, I ran into a lady the other day, and it was at a store, and
she recognized your voice?
She didn't recognize my voice, but she recognized my name, and that was nice, and she said, oh, I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, excellent. So
that was very sweet.
Excellent.
Well, she...
How much did you pay her for that?
She didn't say we were good or anything, or she enjoyed it, or maybe she hates it. She just likes to be ticked off. I don't know. But anyway, doesn't matter. It matters to a degree, but it's always nice to hear that there are listeners.
Exactly. While we're talking about the station, I wanted to talk about an election experience that we had. Our good friend Harley Ballew, who is on 6 to 9 weekday mornings, we had an experience with Harley's county commissioner election. And I'm not sure if he was an incumbent at that time or if that was his first race. But we got a knock on our door.
That was Harley's first race.
Okay. We got a knock on our door one Sunday afternoon, which, you know, ticked me off on several levels.
Yeah. The fact is, it's on Sunday. I mean, when I've done a lot of campaign managing and working in campaigns, and when I managed campaigns, I still do occasionally. We don't campaign on Sunday, mm-hmm. And people are, oh my gosh, you're not gonna win. Well, frankly, I think the Lord blesses you when you do that. But
like I said, here it is Sunday afternoon. We're sitting around, and like I said, on several levels. Number one, we have a locked gate. We live in the county, and we have a locked gate. And for some reason or another, it was standing open that Sunday. And we get a knock on our door, and we have a big old Harley sign in our yard, right next to our driveway.
I mean, we don't have it. We don't have it every year, no.
When Harley was first running for county commissioner, we had the sign. And so this idiot comes to our door and says, can I count on your vote? And I, unfortunately for Bill, I was the one who answered the door. And I said, no. I said, we're supporting Harley. And apparently this guy spent a lot of money on a campaign staff out of Austin. And like I said, they're just total idiots.
Well, I think it's a little harsh.
Well, and anyway, and in elections, if they're very close, like within a statistical margin of error, there's an automatic recount, which the county or whatever jurisdiction, congressional, whatever, pays for. Otherwise, the candidate has to pay for it. And in this case, it wasn't even close. But But the this candidate with the Austin-based staff insisted on a recount, and Harley asked us to take part in it, and it was very interesting to see. Harley invited people who supported him, and the other candidate invited his people, and we went through the paper ballots, and it was like I said, it was very interesting to see the process. And after that experience, I choose a paper ballot. Here in Kerr County, I don't know about other counties in our area, but I've never been any place. Well, I take that back. I could be wrong. But here you have a choice. Do you want a paper ballot or do you want to use a machine? And what I learned in that recount is if you use a paper ballot, your vote can be recounted. But if it's a machine, who knows?
Yeah.
You have to count on the machine being correct. So because of that, I asked for a paper ballot.
Yeah, yeah. And
Harley won by a wide margin.
Yeah.
even after the recount.
8:52 is our Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison. Well, before the break, I talked about the most physically fit person in the world. His name is Alan Jones. All right. He had polio when he was 5 years old. When he was 17, he was laid up with a back injury so serious that doctors told him, you'll never be able to do any heavy lifting, which actually is a good thing, and you'll probably be confined to a desk job the rest of your life. Well, they were kind of wrong on that. In 1974, first he joined the Marine Corps, became a captain. In 1974, he did 27,003 sit-ups in 30 hours to set a new world's record. And this is the guy who had polio and a back injury so serious that doctors said you'll, you know, just basically just be lucky to walk. He suffered no ill effects from his record-breaking sit-ups. In fact, the following morning, he rose early and went on a camping trip with his wife and his daughter. He went after another world's record. He swam the Mississippi River lengthwise in record time. He went from Minneapolis to New Orleans.
Wow.
If you've ever seen the Mississippi, it's not something you want to swim in, believe me. I grew up as a kid, we moved to right on the banks, and we're near the banks of the Mississippi. So he's done all that stuff. But he said, I have never... He also led a four-man relay team in running 310 miles nonstop across the state of Oregon, the entire state.
Wow.
This guy is amazing. Just amazing. He said, I was never all that good at traditional sports. He said, I decided to concentrate on endurance events. I want to see how far I can push myself, maybe go where no one has ever gone before. Ooh.
wait. I think I
have. You have that?
Don't I?
I don't know. It's somewhere.
Where is it?
I can. There it is. I see it.
Where?
Oh, second row from the bottom. Which, this is inside radio stuff anyway.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
There you go. That's the old version of it, if you remember. They changed it to boldly go where no one has gone before. But when William Shatner did it, it was... Where boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yeah, but they had women.
They
on
had.
The, on
they
the,
had. They
on
had.
The Starship
they had
Enterprise.
Uhura was on. Wanted. They had a lot of women in the show. So I don't know what that was all about. 8:55 is our Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison. Here's some good news for you. The Texas Senate last week unanimously approved a $16.5 billion package to lower property taxes.
All right.
Lower property taxes. Increasing the homestead exemption from $40,000 to $70,000.
with an additional $20,000 exemption for homeowners 65 and older. So that'll make it $90,000 homeowners exemption if you're 65 or older, and $70,000 if you're under 65. So it's going to save an average homeowner, Texas homeowner, $341 on their annual tax bill. Seniors will save an average of $568 on their average property tax bill. And a senator from Houston, State Senator Republican Paul Bettencourt, said, "This is off the charts." This is a quote. "This is off the charts, incredible property tax relief for millions of Texas homeowners." That is great news, is it not?
It certainly is.
Is it not? On the subject of property taxes, we talked last week to Roman Garcia, who's running for re-election to the Kerrville City Council. And we talked to him, I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air, but we talked to him about how unfair it is that people who live outside any town, whether it's Kerrville or any other town, and own, say they own a rental property in the town, but they live outside the town, they cannot vote on the taxes mm-hmm. that city levies on their property. That's taxation without representation.
Do you know somebody that applies to?
No, I don't. But I'm saying that if you did, you should be able to vote. I mean, because a lot of people own property in a town, but they don't live in that town. Maybe they live right outside, or maybe they don't live anywhere near. But the point is, if you're gonna be taxed, you should be able to vote on that taxation. Otherwise, it's, again, taxation without representation, which was, you know, the battle cry of the American War for Independence. Mm-hmm. I hope.
Now, what did the guy say, that you should be allowed to vote based on the number of trees on your
house? That was a joke. Like that. That was a joke.
Oh, that was for real.
No, that was a joke. But you should, seriously, if you own property someplace, you should be allowed to vote on the taxation of that property. Otherwise, it goes against the spirit of the war for American War for Independence. I say. What do you say, Alison?
Sure.
You agree?
Sure. Whatever.
What? What were you listening? Are you paying no attention?
I'm busy over here.
You are. You know, Alison, I'm glad you mentioned that. She, you know, we played the Star Trek theme. Alison is the engineer here. She runs the board. And if you've ever seen a radio station control board, it is like the helm of the Starship Enterprise. I mean, there are flashing lights and different colored lights and meters with dials and needles going back and forth. There's two, three computer screens, two mice, levers, as I said, levers, dials, keyboards. There's one, two keyboards. It's just unbelievable. And she runs it. And when we first started here, Harley said, "Oh, come on, Bill, I'll show you how to run it." And first 30 seconds, I'm thinking, I can't do this. So Allison stepped up to the plate and she did it. So that's fabulous. Fabulous.
Coming up after the break, I'm going to tell you shocking results of an election that was stolen in modern times here in the United States. And also a warning from the IRS about a scam. So stay tuned.
Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back. It's Bill and Allison time. 9:06 is our Hill Country Patriot time. Hello, Allison.
It's always our time.
Yes. Hello, Allison.
Hello, Bill.
Glad you're with us. Actually, I couldn't do anything on the radio without you. So, as I said before the break, she runs the board. She's the engineer.
I control his microphone.
Yeah. That's,
If it weren't for me, you couldn't hear him.
That's true. Well, we are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And we are never PC, are we, Allison?
No, we're not. No. I never have been.
Well, we are proudly PI, politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But most importantly, we strive to be BC, biblically correct. And I'm a native Texan from the Panhandle.
And I'm a Native American.
From?
Actually, my tribe is currently located in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Thanks to the Trail of Tears coming from Tennessee, the Chickasaw tribe. We do have a trigger warning for you. Allison and I identify as non-binary, and we have preferred pronouns. Mine is Brandon.
I'm Corn Pop.
Allison's Corn Pop. So just that's how we want to be called.
Let's go, Brandon.
Thank you.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm looking at the Old Farmer's Almanac. Since it's the first of the month, I wanted to find the right page. I thought I had the page marked, but I didn't. Anyway, oh, here it is. What we'd like to do is consult the Old Farmer's Almanac because it has been published in 1792. And I don't know how long they've been doing weather forecasts, but they do them over a year in advance. And this is phenomenal. Their record is 80% accuracy. Wow. You know, the National Weather Service can't do it an hour in advance.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know. But it's astounding how they do it. So for our region in April, they say the average temperature will be 68 degrees, which is it'll be 1 degree above average. Precipitation will be average.
You know, I hate those average temperatures.
Well, night and day, yeah.
It's like 100 degrees in the daytime and 40 degrees at night.
Yeah.
So they say the average 60.
I know.
That is really, really annoying.
Yeah. It's like putting your 1 foot in boiling water and 1 foot in ice cold water and saying, well, you know, I feel average. I feel okay. So anyway, they say the temperature will be 1 degree above average. Precipitation will be average, 3 inches in April. And they are predicted from April 1 to the 5th, a few thunderstorms. We've seen that already. Turning cooler. So we'll see if they're right this time. But 80, I wouldn't argue against 80%. Would you?
Actually, I sometimes do, don't I? I've always been a
no
rebel.
Comment
I've
on
always,
that.
I've always been a rebel.
No comment on that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Just before the break, for the news, I mentioned about an election that was stolen, and this is something that I was personally involved in.
You stole an election.
And this, I ran across this article in Today in Campaign History from Political Junkie, the website. Actually, it wasn't today. Actually, it'll be tomorrow, which is April 2nd. And what happened, a friend of mine was running for Congress in the 8th District, what was then the 8th District of Indiana. This is in 1984. And I had been working for the congressman who represented that district, and Rick McIntyre was my intern, and he ran for Congress, and he was a Republican, and it was, like I said, it was 1984, and he ran against Frank McCloskey, who was the Democrat, and my friend Rick was ahead, but it was a narrow margin, so there was a recount. And my friend Rick won again, but the Democrats were not happy with that. The Secretary of State certified my friend Rick, sent him to Washington to represent the 8th District of Indiana, which was at that time called the Bloody 8th, because it changed hands like every couple of years.
Is that Evansville, that area?
Mm-hmm.
Terre Haute?
Not Terre Haute, but it was at Evansville.
Okay.
Anyway, my friend Rick was sent to Washington to represent the district. But the House Administration Committee decided that they weren't happy with that. And I must point out that that was in 1984, but it was 85 by the time Rick was sent to Congress to represent the district. And at that time, there had not been a Republican majority in the House of Representatives for over 40 years, and the Democrats were in very tight control of the House of Representatives, led by Tip O'Neill. And so the Democrats were not happy with Rick coming to Congress. So they formed a committee in the House Administration Committee, which was dominated by Democrats. And I'm not sure how long it went on, but they voted to seat the Democrat. So on May 1st, the election had been previous November, but May 1st, they voted to seat the Democrat, which led to a walkout by all House Republicans. Do you remember? Yeah, I'm sure you remember.
Oh, I remember that very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were both working in Congress at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we worked. Alice, that's how Alice and I met. In fact, mm-hmm. we were both press secretaries on Capitol Hill, working for two different congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
And the one you were working for was coincidentally from Indiana.
Well, yeah, he represented that district.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this was an outrageous theft of a congressional seat.
Yeah.
But by the Democrats.
Absolutely.
Just because they could.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely.
I don't think we'll ever see anything like that happen again.
Like what?
Like a congressional seat being stolen.
Do you think so? You don't think so, huh? Well, that brings me to a point, by the way. You don't think that we'll see any stolen elections from now on?
Not quite that blatant. I mean, this was done by the House of Representatives. Democrats who controlled the House of Representatives stole the seat from a Republican.
Yeah, not theft, because they wanted more Democrats in the House.
Right.
What they also did when they were in the majority, most of the time that we worked in Congress, there's a rule that they'd followed in Congress for decades, probably centuries, I don't know how old the rule is, and Republicans always upheld the rule, and that is the proportion of Republicans versus Democrats on committees, on House committees, should reflect the proportion of Republicans and Democrats in the entire House. So if you have 55% Republicans and 45% Democrats, then that's each committee has 55%, 45, except I think for rules and maybe one or two others. And
the Rules Committee.
Rules Committee. But the Democrats, when they got into power, ignored that and stacked the key committees. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about fisheries and maritime, but the key committees, ways and means, rules, budget, appropriations, they stacked them with Democrats. So Republicans had even less power.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally against the rules to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats control the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wrote the rules. They wrote them to suit themselves. And Republicans are just so nice, and we try to get along with everybody. So what happens? We get just rolled over.
Right.
Is what happens.
Exactly.
And it still happens.
Exactly.
There are 19 months between now and Election Day 2024. So what they have, in my opinion, what the Democrats have in store to rig that election has only just begun. Okay. You have to think about how vile and depraved the Democrat Party has become. Think about John F. Kennedy. If you read about John F. Kennedy and what his positions were, he'd be considered a screaming right winger today. I mean, even Republicans would say, neocons and the rhinos in the Republican Party would say John F. Kennedy was a crazy extremist. All right.
Right-wing extremists.
But you have to realize how vile and depraved the Democratic Party has become. To appease their base, they, like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, the rest of them, openly advocate child mutilation. Can you imagine that a couple of years ago? But they advocate child mutilation, gay porn in elementary schools. Mm-hmm. We just had a vote in the Kerrville City Council. Roman Garcia was the only one to vote to do this. He wanted to move. There's pornographic books in the Buttholesworth Library, and Roman Garcia wanted to move those books out of the children's section into the adult section. And he was the only one on the city council who wanted to do it. There was a vote, and the rest of them said, no, let's keep it in the children's section.
Yeah, I mean...
The kind of things,
books that little kids are exposed to, I was not allowed to read as an older teenager.
Of course not. You've read about and probably seen videos of people, parents who've gotten up at school board meetings... Mm-hmm. And started reading some of the books that are in the and the school board shuts them down. Well, you can't read that dirty stuff in front of people. Yeah, but it's okay to have it in the kids' libraries at schools.
Yeah, and recently a little kid read out loud from one of those books.
Yes, I remember that. So anyway, this is what they're for. They're for mentally ill men invading girls' locker rooms, exposing little kids to depraved drag queens who want to expose themselves to kids. They were willing to kill John Fetterman to hold that Senate seat. They were willing to put him through a grueling campaign, a mentally challenged, brain-injured man. They did. This is my point. They did. They were willing to kill him in the hospital yesterday. They were willing to kill him. So they've aligned themselves. The Democrats have aligned themselves with rioters, murderers, cop killers in Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Democrats are so eager for power and to replace Americans with illegal immigrants who are much more obedient to the government. They come from countries where you have to be obedient to the government. So they believe in socialism. They believe in obeying the government, most of them. So they want to replace Americans with these compliant illegals. So they're willing to flood our country with the poison of fentanyl, which comes with illegal immigration, sex trafficking, including the trafficking of children. Democrats know this is going on. They don't care because... they want more illegal Democrats in this country. So when you're dealing with a political party and a corporate media that supports them, the arm of the DNC, nothing's off limits like that. Their only morality is that which furthers their cause. And if mutilating children, trafficking children furthers their cause, that makes the mutilation and trafficking moral. That's how they think. Whatever furthers our cause is moral. Because it furthers our cause. That's the definition of morality, is we win. So you've seen the prosecutorial abuse that we've seen with Trump arrest, and we're not going to go, everybody else is talking about it, so we're not going to go into it.
Exactly.
But that's just the beginning. It's going to continue. I mean, they manufactured a non-existent crime to indict President Trump, but he happens to be the opposition party frontrunner. But that's only the beginning of this prosecutorial abuse. We've got 19 months to go. Think about that. 19 months. I mean, look at the lay of the land. Think about that. People eager to mutilate children hold political and prosecutorial power. So the possibilities are unreal. Now, I mean, Trump Tuesday will be booked, fingerprinted, possibly marched before the cameras, forced to be posed for a mugshot. And a criminal trial is going to happen, and they're going to try to get it in Manhattan with a jury filled with Trump haters. So there's going to be a verdict. It's going to be guilty. And Bragg, DA of Manhattan, he's going to pursue additional indictments. He's already said that. And there'll be other indictments against Trump. There's a corrupt Democrat district attorney in Atlanta. So there'll be another trial. Find him guilty, Trump guilty for that. So the Democrats have decided to do anything they possibly can to ensure Trump loses. They hate Trump. He came in as an outsider. They hate him. So we're going to see, until the election, we're going to see corrupt prosecutors and lawyers and juries and judges to create as many problems for Trump and Republicans as possible in order to rig the next presidential election. I was reading John Nolte on Breitbart.news. It's really good. If you haven't read John Nolte, N-O-L-T-E, Breitbart.com, he says, don't be surprised if Trump is convicted, denied bail, and taken to prison in handcuffs.
Wow, I hadn't heard that theory.
Yeah, he says, the goal is to distract attention from the failing state of our country. I mean, we're in a cesspool of recession, war, violent crime. He says, the goal is to distract attention. I've said this to you, Allison, before. Isn't it coincidental that when Comer's committee in the House discovers and proves that Joe Biden is as corrupt president as we've ever had, taking payoffs from communist China, as soon as that happens, the Trump indictment comes down mm-hmm. and pushes that off the front page.
Mm-hmm.
It's now all about Trump. It's not about Biden's corruption. Otherwise, Biden's corruption would be, well, wouldn't be in the mass media, but it would be the story. But even conservative media, it's not the story anymore. So the goal is to distract attention from the failing state of our country, gin up the Democrat base, further the cause of Trump exhaustion. People think, oh, well, he's, you know, just tired of this, Trump, Trump, Trump. So you can't put anything past Democrats who are willing to hold on to power through the mutilation and sex trafficking of little children. So we're in for a long time before that presidential election comes in. I'm sorry to say, but that's my opinion. What's coming on? 9:23 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison. We're happy you are. Well, we are getting ready to get out of here. Remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Join us next Saturday at 8 o'clock for the Bill and Allison Show. And coming up, stay tuned for Clay and Buck.